churches and things that call it church, guys, they blaspheme God in their services, their teachings, their songs. They have no reverence for God, which indicates there are these fools who despise wisdom and instruction. But the one who is in Christ fears the Lord. He has reverence for the Lord. He loves the Lord. So a wise man, number one, he fears the Lord. As James tells us, who is among you is wise and has understanding. Guys, why do we fear the Lord in the sense of wisdom? Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. God is the source of this wisdom. Remember, it's wisdom from above. God is the source. So number one, you got to have fear of the Lord, a healthy, reverential respect for God. Proverbs 2 elaborates on this. Verses 1, beginning in verse 1, says, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. The Lord is the source for wisdom." Wisdom from above or earthly wisdom. That's the two kinds of wisdoms. In Christ, a wisdom from above is from God. You will never, ever, ever find it here on earth. Many have tried. It's not the philosophy that fills the mind. This is divine wisdom that pierces the heart and the mind, which indicates a changed life. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 13, right to your right. It's how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels. And nothing you desire compares with her. What he's doing here is showing us there's nothing on this earth that can compare with the wisdom from God. No institution, no university, no school, no book, no nothing compares with the divine wisdom from God. He continues, "Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are those who hold her fast." Verse 19 says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew." Guys, something that was there before creation cannot give you that wisdom. This wisdom is not found on the earth. In fact, it was there before the earth. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. This wisdom cannot be found in this world, for it was there before the world in the Lord. It's outside of our universe. There's nothing that can compare. Turn with me to Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28. Job here is telling of earth's treasures. He speaks of silver and gold and all these things and all the work that men do to find these treasures. And really, he splits it up into three portions. We're not going to read this whole chapter, but verses 1 through 11 speak of mining for gold and silver. How man reaches out to find it. They go into great depths to reach for these riches. Men dam up streams. They bring out what is hidden of the earth. They overturn mountains. All these works of men. In verses 12 through 22 speak of that nothing compares with it. It says, where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not of me. The sea says, it is not with me. Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can silver be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in an old gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold or glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for articles of fine gold. Coral and crystal are not to be mentioned. You see what he's doing here? Some of the most valuable things here on this earth cannot even compare to this wisdom. He continues down, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Verse 20, where then does wisdom come from? And where is this place of understanding? Drop down to verse 23. He shows us the source. God understands its way. And he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth, and he sees everything under the heavens. When he imparted weight to the wind and meted out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it. He established it and he searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. A wise man fears the Lord. And he ends there by saying, and to part from evil is understanding. Guys, this fear is to honor him in the highest way. He is the preeminent one. He is the one we serve. He is our creator. He is our savior. And by his grace, he gives us this wisdom. And guys, nothing on this earth compares. And Job just gave us gold and silver. Some of the things that people long for on this earth. Some of the most valuable things we can have in possession on this earth. And he says nothing can be compared to God's wisdom. Guys, and if you're in Christ, he gives us that wisdom. There's nothing on this earth that can compare, that we can fill our minds with, that can compare to the wisdom of God. So when James asks, who among you is wise? He's asking, who among you are found in Christ's wisdom? Who among you seek it out? Who among you fear the Lord? Guys, he's telling them, seek him, because he is the one who gives wisdom. He is the one who gives him. In fact, Colossians in the New Testament tells us in chapter 3, verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on things that are on this earth. There's nothing on this earth that we can set our minds to apart from him that can gain any weight in his kingdom. Nothing. Some of the most brilliant-minded people of this earth who didn't have Christ had nothing. Had nothing because their wisdom was earthly. So the first point of a wise man is he fears the Lord. Second, a wise man seeks God. Proverbs 4:5 says, acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Seek it. Get it. Psalm 119 verse 10 says, do not let me wander from your commandments. Observe his testimony. Seek him. Walk in his ways. They shall keep them diligently, his precepts. See, the wise man, the one who is in Christ, the one who is maturing in the word of God, he doesn't put his mind to earthly things. He seeks God for that wisdom. He seeks his precepts, his law, his commandments in this word for wisdom. First, a wise man fears the Lord. Second, he seeks him with all his heart. And thirdly, a wise man has hatred for sin. Remember at the end of Job 28, and to depart from evil is understanding. As if you want to be wise, you cannot have any relationship with sin. None. In fact, a wise man hates sin, hates evil. Proverbs 8, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it real quickly. Proverbs 8, verse 12. It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Guys, to be wise in Christ, to be wise with a divine wisdom is to hate sin. To not gratify any sin that remains in your life. We've got to turn away from evil. You see, the wisdom from the earth, it can do nothing to kill the sin in your life. In fact, it gratifies it. It feeds it. It builds up pride and arrogance. And what does he say here? Pride and arrogance in the evil way. That's something we should hate. That's something that God hates. We cannot be found filling with earthly sinful wisdom and pushing aside the divine wisdom that God gives so graciously. James tells us that if any of you lack wisdom, he'll give it to you as he's given you all things. Guys, this just speaks to our life now because we must seek him for divine wisdom. For he is the only source. So to be wise and to have understanding is to fear the Lord, to seek him with all your heart, and to hate the sin that remains in your life. Do you see how this works? To fear God is to love him. To love him is to obey him. To obey him is to hate sin. You see how all that plays out? A wise man does this. The Gospels tell us that a wise man builds his house upon a rock. That describes a believer, or it should, as that is wisdom. So when he asks these Christians here, and he asks us with this question, who among you is wise and understanding? We should all look to our own lives and think, does this describe me? Do I fear the Lord? Do I seek him in all that I do? And do I hate the sin that remains in my life? Because that is, and that, guys, that doesn't just exhaust wisdom, but that shows us here kind of what James was telling these Jewish believers and an understanding of what these Jewish believers would have known about wisdom. Fear the Lord, seek him, and hate the sin. Kill the sin that remains in your life. Guys, if you fill yourself with earthly wisdom, what's going to come out? Worldly living, pride, arrogance, an uncontrolled tongue. But if you fill your mind with divine wisdom from God, his word, look what comes out. Obedience. Obedience. Wisdom from above is to believers, guys. Unbelievers cannot possess this. And we get this from his word. Apart from his word, we can have no wisdom. None. Being led by the Spirit, enlightened by the Spirit, we get this wisdom from the word of God. Wisdom from man, again, is evil. It's perverse. It's sinful. It's sought only in earthly treasures and teachings filled with emotions. Guys, and it's from Satan. It's demonic, as James tells us. It's earthly, it's natural, and it's demonic. Do you have divine wisdom and satanic wisdom? Is the two options. And every single person is filled with one or the other. To have a kind of a proper perspective on this, let's use trials as an example. That was the first test he put us through. One who is wise and one who is not go through the same trial. But here's the difference. The wise man that has been founded in the Word of God, in Christ, having this divine wisdom that God gives, he goes through the same trial. But what does he do? What's his reaction? He counts it all joy because he knows God is at work in his life. The one who is filled with worldly wisdom tries to wrap their mind around, why is this happening to me? They never count it joy, for they can't. You see the difference? Worldly wisdom can never understand, but divine wisdom, they go through the same troubles in life, probably even more, and yet they count it all joy. You see what divine wisdom does? It goes to the actions. It pierces the heart. It instructs the minds. And it leads to an obedient lifestyle. We see that in Abraham. Remember in James chapter 2, it was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar. You see all three of these in Abraham's life. Number one, he feared God, or he wouldn't have climbed that mountain. He sought him in the sense that he loved him, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have took his son upon the altar. And thirdly, he hated sin. In the Old Testament, anytime they would sacrifice, it was a symbol of an atonement of sin. What was Abraham called to do? Sacrifice his son. Do you think he hated sin? Look to the extent of how he went. He laid his son on an altar. He hated sin. You see all three of these in Abraham, which indicates in God he was wise. He feared him, he loved him, and he hated sin. Guys, he hated sin. As this should be a picture for all of us. So when James says, who among you is wise and understanding, that's what he's describing. Who are you in your wisdom? Are you filled with worldly wisdom or divine wisdom? Do you truly understand or do you wonder? That's what wisdom is. Fear of the Lord, seeking Him with all your heart, and hating the sin that remains. Secondly, in the second part of verse 13, we see the proofs, right? All of those Abraham had, he feared the Lord, he loved Him, and he hated sin. And all of those accumulated into what? Obedience. The second part of verse 13, the proof of wisdom. You see, all this stuff you can't see necessarily. The fear of the Lord, hating sin, seeking Him. But what you can see is the byproduct, the obedience. You see that in Abraham's life, right? He feared God, he loved Him, he hated sin, which led to an obedient heart. He was willing to sacrifice his own son for God. It led to obedience. You can never separate true divine wisdom from obedience. Guys, people can study this word every day and not be saved. There's people who study it to find fault in it, and you can even memorize it. But if it's not divine wisdom, it's just knowledge. It's just academic. It means nothing. Only when it is accompanied by obedience is it true wisdom. So in verse 2, we see proof. We're going to look at four things that he shows us. He begins by saying, let him show. This verb in the Greek is imperative and it's emphasized. He's saying, show me how you are wise. And the only way to show that is by your actions. Guys, it's like it has exclamation point. It's a command. It's not an option. It's not, well, if I feel like it today. He's saying, show me you're wise. Show me that Christ has begun a good work in you and he's completing it. Guys, his outward obedience is from within, a changed new life. Remember James? He says, I will show you my faith by my works. You can say, I can show you that I'm wise in Christ, not by my own doing, by my obedience. It's the same thing. But he shows us in four ways. Number one is an understanding. Kind of sums up the first part of verse 13. To be wise and to show it, number one, you've got to understand the Word of God. You've got to understand it. As Christianity is not a mindless religion. It's a renewed mind from a true knowledge from God. In fact, Psalm 119, 26 reads, teach me your statutes. Make me understand your precepts. So I will meditate on your wonders. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me and graciously grant me your law. We've got to understand the word of God. A wise man understands the word of God. Secondly, obedience, outward obedience as proof of a wise man. He says, good behavior. Let him show by his good behavior. Good behavior is a lifestyle. You're familiar with the term above reproach. It means such that no criticism can be made. It speaks to your lifestyle. Good behavior means you're above reproach, which means your life is an example of Christ. Is it perfect? No, no. But the direction of your life should show this above reproach lifestyle. He commands us, show me, or let him show by his, number one, his understanding, number two, his good behavior. Because he's commanding you. Your lifestyle must show that you are wise with divine wisdom. Paul says the same thing in his epistles, Philippians 1:27. Only live your lives in a manner worthy of the gospel. Your lifestyle. Ephesians 4:1 says, therefore I, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort you to walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called. All of them take action. Live your lives. Walk worthy of your calling. Ephesians 5:1 sums it up. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Your lifestyle, one way to show, am I wise? Am I truly understanding? Do you see this in your life? This good behavior. Because it's never in us. It's never in our flesh to say, look what I'm doing. It's Christ in you. Never forget that. Because what this is saying when he says, be imitators of God, it says, you are in Christ now. Show it. Live it. And by doing that, it will show if you are wise or you are not. But each one of these are a command. We see this in James, Philippians, Ephesians. All of these are not an option. He's saying, live out your faith. But he adds another here in part of obedience. Let him show you by his understanding, good behavior, and deeds. Because these deeds go beyond the lifestyle to the specific works. Your everyday thoughts, words, actions, everything need to be coming from wisdom. And they need to show that God has given you wisdom. We see that in Abraham's actions, right? His lifestyle proved it, but his specific action by placing Isaac on the altar proved that he was wise. The wise man building his house on the rock proves he is wise. It's a specific action. Your everyday actions need to prove that you're in Christ and you're living out that wisdom. Not just head knowledge, but a lifestyle. You need to understand. You need to obey. And thirdly, he says, let him show by his good behavior, his deeds, in the gentleness of wisdom. Gentle here means meek or humble. And you really can look at it two ways. Number one, never let your wisdom put you above everybody else. Even James, guys, this is the brother, the half-brother of Jesus, writing this epistle. Look at his humility. Chapter 3, verse 1, is knowing that as such, we will incur a stricter judgment. He includes himself. Verse 9, he says, with it, speaking of the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. See how he includes himself? Guys, there are some Christians who are wise beyond what I will ever be. And yet, what? They're not perfect. Our wisdom that we have should never put ourselves above others. There's a pastor I like listening to by the name of Paul Washer. And some years ago, I was listening to a sermon of his. And at this time, he was probably preaching for 30 years. I don't know. But he came with much passion and says, I have been preaching all these years, and I haven't even reached the doorstep. That's a sign of humility. That's a sign of a wise man who is truly strong and courageous. Because that's a humble man. But when he says here, gentle, guys, this doesn't mean cowardly or wimpy. In fact, this means power under control. Like a tamed lion. That lion has massive abilities to tear people to shreds. But if he's tame, he sits there like a pet. Power under control. Many say that James is really a commentary in the sense of the Sermon on the Mount. It's very similar to Matthew chapter 5 through 7. In fact, it's part of the Beatitudes in chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed are the lowly or gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Proverbs 11:2 says, when arrogance comes, then comes disgrace. But with the meek is wisdom. A wise man is gentle. Guys, this meekness is knowing that you're not in control. It's to accept the sovereignty of God for our good. Not to resist. Not to become angry. We do. We fail at that. But humbly submitting to his will. No matter what the outcome. Because he's writing this to Jewish believers who were being persecuted. They had to scatter abroad because they were being heavily persecuted. And he's telling them, be gentle. It's a sign that you are wise. A foolish man bursts out, but a wise man is gentle. A wise and gentle person knows that he has nothing to commend himself for. Because in our Christian walk, it's all by the grace of God. That's a gentle person. Knowing there's not one thing I did to deserve this. There's not one thing I can do now that can keep deserving this. But by the grace of God, he gives us salvation, everything we need for life and godliness, including this divine wisdom. So when trials do come, we can overcome them with joy. When temptation comes, we can say no. As you see how all this plays out, because in layman's terms, what James is saying in all these tests, if you're in Christ, you're going to live it out. You're going to show it because he's begun a work in you that he's going to complete. He is completing. Now, it's a process. It's always a process. But he's saying if you are wise, you will show it. He commands us to show it by understanding his word, by obeying his word, and being gentle in spirit. That's signs of a wise person who truly understands. But in conclusion, guys, a wise man fears the Lord, he hates sin, he seeks God, and he obeys him. That's a wise man. So we ask our question, the same question, who among you, am I wise? Ask yourself, am I wise? Do I understand? Does this describe me? That's what James is trying to do. He's getting their attention. He's speaking to their heart, their will. Who among you is wise? As this wisdom is from God, it's in Christ, by His Spirit, and through His Word. Not one of it has to do with us. But by God's grace, guys, by God's grace, He gives us that wisdom. He doesn't leave us, save us, and just stick us in the corner. He gives us that wisdom, and He continues to give us the wisdom we need. But it's all found in Christ. Guys, that's why the worldly wisdom does not know this, because they don't know Christ. Colossians 2:3 tells us that in whom, Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Only in Christ can you have this wisdom. Only in Christ can you be bestowed this grace of wisdom. He continues in Colossians, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. A wise man walks in Christ because he has Christ. It's not just a profession. It's a possession of Christ. We are His, guys, bought by His blood. Guys, it's an oxymoron to think one is saved yet doesn't live in obedience. It's an oxymoron to say that one is a Christian yet is not wise. Though we are not fully wise, we're not perfect, guys, the direction of our life is wisdom. That is the route we're on. We're on the narrow road that only the wise find, because God gives us that wisdom. Guys, He's exhorting us to obedience with this text. And again, this is just an introduction to the rest of the verses. Lord willing, next week we'll look at verses 14 through 16, a wisdom of the foolish. And then, Lord willing, the next week, 17 and 18, and we look at the true wisdom which is from above. Everybody has some sort of wisdom. Everybody. Whether it's divine or earthly. But only in Christ, guys. Only in Christ can we have this wisdom. Guys, don't take this lightly. Don't just take this as understanding and knowledge, guys. Live it out. He's exhorting us. Show by your obedience. Show me you understand His word. Because the way we do that is to obey it, to live it out. And guys, when we're asked this question, who among you is wise? Who among you understands? You can stand flat-footed and say, not by me, but Christ in me, I am. The wise man is in Christ. And every believer can stand, or should be able to, and say, I will show you that I'm wise by Christ working in me. Because I am not of myself anymore. I'm not of the flesh anymore. I'm not of this world anymore. I am His. And He's working in me and making me wise, not by my own self or what I deserve, because of His love and grace for us. As we can have wisdom from above. Colossians tells us, set your mind there. Set your mind in this book. Guys, only here do we find divine wisdom. Not dreams, not emotions, not visions or extra revelations. This book. This is where we find divine wisdom. Seek it out. Seek Him, fear Him, love Him, obey Him. And ask Him in faith, as James tells us, if you lack wisdom, and He will give it to you. James is an amazing epistle. Very convicting, to the point. He doesn't waste time. But as this question of studying this week was very convicting, am I wise? Do I truly understand? Because I love how he just directly asks his readers, who among you, who among you is wise and understanding? If you're in Christ, you can say yes. If not, there's no hope other than in Christ. Seek Him, guys. We all lack wisdom. There's not a one of us that's perfect. We'll never come to a point and say, I've made it. Not here on earth. Seek His wisdom. Guys, He gives it to you. You don't have to have a special formula or a code. Ask Him and He'll give you His wisdom. Be found an effectual doer of the word, and he will give you that wisdom. So what is wisdom? Man who fears God, who seeks him, who hates sin. And how do we know we are wise? We show him in our good behavior, our deeds, what we understand, and our gentleness of spirit. We show him by our actions, guys. He's calling us to live out who we truly are. Live out that life. Guys, tomorrow's not promised. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. But if you're in Christ, there's no need to fear that. Seek him today. He takes care of today and tomorrow. Seek Christ. Seek the wisdom that he gives us so graciously. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word and how perfect and precious it is. Father, we don't deserve this wisdom. Father, but we are just worms of this earth, but yet you give us this wisdom. You give us Christ. You saved us. You sanctify us. You promise us, God, that you won't forsake us. You hold us in your hands. But I pray that each and every one of us as we leave here this morning would look to our own self. Am I wise? Do I understand? I pray that we would seek you in all our hearts. That we would love you, that we would obey you, Father. Do whatever it takes in our lives, whatever trial, whatever it takes to bring us to yourself, to sanctify us, Father. For those who don't know you, to save them, knowing that there's nothing in this world that can save them, but only in Christ. And in Christ we find this wisdom. We thank you for him. We thank you for all that you do so graciously. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.